Okay, thank you so much, Rabbi Shabtai, and to the Boker Raton Synagogue Midrashah for the opportunity to present this pre-Pesach Shir this evening. So I have decided what I prepared. Of course, we're rapidly approaching this week's Shabbos HaGadol. We are rapidly approaching Zman Chirusenu and the Yom Tov of our freedom and our Geula. There are so many approaches and so much to discuss and so much to learn. I prepared a shiur based on the teachings of three great thinkers in our time. We will be studying teachings from Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav Zatzal, Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, Zichrono Livracha, and Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, Zichrono Livracha, three great modern-day thinkers who were able to so brilliantly bring us lessons from ancient texts to our modern times. So that is where we'll be going. I will be quoting with the Rav. And also, it's not just that I decided to pick these three thinkers, Talmidei Chachamim, scholars, rabbis, rabbinic personalities, but also it's all one theme. And the theme is the concept of Hallel and Shira. Because on Leil HaSeder, unique to the night of Leil HaSeder, is that part of the Haggadah includes the recitation of Hallel. Now, Hallel is not usually a prayer or a song that is recited at night. Hallel is generally always exclusively reserved for the morning, on the Shalosh Regalim, on Hanukkah, on Rosh Chodesh. Hallel is a compilation of psalms from Kapitel Kuf Yud Gimel through Kuf Yud Chas that deal with praise to Hashem. Leil HaSeder is unique because on this great night of redemption, we engage in Hallel and Shira to the Ribono Shel Olam. So we will be studying the teachings of the Rav, Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, and Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, ideas into Hallel and Shira related to Leil HaSeder. I will begin with Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav Zatzal. Okay, what do we say in the Haggadah? After we go through Maggid, so again, we're not talking about Shibud Mitzrayim tonight. We're going to touch upon it in Hallel, but we're not talking about the verses in Maggid that deal with the Shibud Mitzrayim, and we're not talking about the Dayenu. We are talking specifically about the passages in the Haggadah relate to the concept of expressing thanks and praise and song to God. So after we go through the whole Haggadah of Maggid, which forms the main part of the recitation of the Shibud Mitzrayim and then the Geulah Mitzrayim, Pesach, Matzah, Umarar, we say right at the end, B'chol dor v'dor, chayav adam lirot et atzmo kilu hu yatzah mimitzrayim. In each and every generation, a person must see himself as if he left from Egypt. Like the Pasuk says, V'gadta l'bin chabayamahu leymor, I'm right at the end of Magid, B'avur za asah Hashem li, B'tzei si mimitzrayim. God did for me. How could you say for me? Lo asav oseinu bilvad, Go'ala kodesh baruch hu, not only did our forefathers alone, the Almighty redeemed, Ela af osanu ga'al imanam, but Hashem redeemed me too, but avur za'asa Hashem li, I was there, I was taken out, I was in the Shibud, I was freed from the Shibud. Shanema, like the Pasuk says in Devarim, Va'osanu hotzi misham, us, he took out of there to bring us, to give us this land that he swore to our forefathers. And therefore we recite a beautiful, beautiful passage right before we recite two kapitach of Tehillim. Lefichach anachnu chayavim lehodos, lahala, leshabeach, lefa'ar, leromim, lehader, levarech, leale, ulekales. Lemisha asala vosenu vlanu es kol hanisim ha'elu hotzianu me'avdus lecherus me'yagon lesimcha u'me'evel l'yom tov u'me'afela l'or gadol u'me'shiva l'geula v'nomer lefanav shira chadasha halleluka. And with that, we moved into the first two kapitach of Tehillim that form Hallel, Kuf Yud Gimel and Kuf Yud Dalet. Halleluka, hallelu avdei Hashem, hallelu Hashem Hashem, yihi Shem Hashem mevorach. And then we recite B'tzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim, which is Kuf Yud Dalet of Tehillim. And then we make a final bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melechem Asher Ga'alnu V'Ga'alas Avoseinu Mimitzrayim, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melechem Boi Pri Hagafen. And with this, the section of Magid concludes. So we make a special paragraph before these two kapitach of Hallel, Halleluka Hallelu Avdei Hashem, B'tzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim, which are again Kuf Yud Gimel and Kuf Yud Dal kapitach of Tehillim respectively. Before we say this, and carefully, after you go through the whole section of Magid, Lefichach, therefore, Anachnu Chayavim, we are obligated, Lahodos, to give thanks, Lahalol, to praise, Lishabeach, so many words to praise God, to laud, Lifa'er, to glorify, Leromim, to like Rome is high up, to exalt, Lahader, to give Hidur to Hashem, Lavarich, to bless, La'ale u'lekalis, to elevate, to acclaim, Lamisha asa la avosenu vilanu es kolanisima elu. So after you talk about Dayenu and the Makos on the Yam and the Makos in Egypt, you say, listen carefully, Lamisha asa la avosenu vilanu es kolanisima elu. Hashem did for our forefathers and for us all these miracles. And then you say, halalu kalu avde Hashem. And then you say, betseis suami mitzrayim. And I'm talking too fast, sorry. Sorry. You're not the first person who's ever told me that in my life. When I get very excited and I have a lot to say, I talk too fast. I apologize. I'll try and slow down. It's not you, it's me. After we say in each and every generation, a person is obligated to see himself as if he left Egypt, which we already went through that passage. Then, lefichach anachnu chayavim, we have to glorify, laud, praise, exalt, make high, lemisha asal avosenu velanu. God did for our forefathers and us all these miracles. Then we recite two paragraphs of Halal, and then we make a concluding bracha about Ga'al Yisrael. And what do we say in that bracha? Bracha Tashem Elokeinu Melcha Masher Ga'alnu V'Ga'alas Avoseinu Mimitzrayim. God redeemed us and our forefathers from Egypt, and he brought us to this night, to Yimatzah and Mara. So Hashem should bring us to Mo'adim v'liragalim acherim, to other appointed and festival times that will meet us with peace. We should rejoice in the building of your city. We should have happiness back in the service of the temple. And then we will be able to eat from the Zvachim and the Psachim. So notice the difference. Before the two paragraphs of Halal, we see that God did miracles, la'avoseinu v'lanu. After the recitation of the two paragraphs of Halal, we say that God did miracles, lanu vila avosenu. We switch the order. Asher ga'alnu v'ga'alas avosenu. You redeemed us and our forefathers after Halal. Before Halal, you did for our forefathers and us. Why the switch in the order? Before Halal, la avosenu v'lanu, for our fathers and us. After Halal, ga'alnu, you redeemed us and our forefathers. So what's going on here? Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav, says as follows. The Lefichach paragraph speaks of thanking God for the miracles done to our forefathers and to us. The paragraph of Asher ga'alnu, who has redeemed us, which follows the singing of the first two chapters of Halal, blesses God who redeemed us and redeemed our forefathers. Why the difference? Says the Rav, if one thanks God for a historical event that retains relevance for us, so you thank him for a historical event, but it retains relevance for you, you should mention first your forefathers, to whom the event occurred, and then yourself. Why? Because it's a historical event, it still benefits me, but I mention first my forefathers, and then I mention myself. Yet, if one experienced the event himself, it's not a historical event, I experienced it myself, then of course, first I'm going to thank God for the miracle that was done to me. If it's history, but I also benefit, so I thank God for doing it for my forefathers first, then I include myself. But if it's for me, myself, and I, if I lived through it, if I benefited it, if I experienced it, then I'm going to thank God to do it for me. If the miracle happened to him, only then you thank God for redeeming others as well. The Lefichach, we do not mention ourselves first. We mention our forefathers. Lemish asanisim la'avoseinu vilanu. Why? Because Rav Soloveitchik says, right before that paragraph, we said, and I started with this, b'chol dor v'dor chayav adam lirot et atzmo kilu hu yatzam mitzrayim. In each and every generation, a person must see himself as if he left Egypt. Are we really capable of fulfilling this halacha, says Rav Soloveitchik? It is not difficult, says the Rav, to eat matzah and maror. Anyone could eat matzah and maror. However, b'chol dor v'dor, in each and every generation, you must see yourself as if you left Egypt, is not only a mitzvah of eating. It is a mitzvah of eating to bring you to an emotional state, a state of mind. I eat matzah and maror to help me feel like I was really there. I eat maror to feel the affliction. I eat charoses to taste the bricks. I eat salty water to taste their tears. It is the involvement of a modern person who nevertheless lies within ancient events. Leil HaSeder, the reenactment of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Shibud Mitzrayim, not in that order, is a modern person, you and I, living in the modern world, who nevertheless lives in ancient times, within ancient events. A very complicated mitzvah. It's very complicated. We don't have a time capsule. So if I'm a modern person, how am I getting back 3,800 years ago? How am I moving backwards in time? How can I mourn on Tisha B'Av, move back almost 2,000 years? We can prove we have the fulfilled the mitzvah of Bechol Dor V'Dor Chayav Et Adam Lirot Et Etzmo by reciting Hallel. Hallel proves when it is said with true joy that we ourselves experienced redemption. Until we said Hallel, you cannot properly fulfill Bechol Dor V'Dor Chayav Adam Lirot Et Etzmo. Pre-Hallel, you are telling the experience but not reliving the experience. And therefore, before Hallel, we say Lefichach Anachnu Chayavim Lahodos LaHallel Shabeach L'Misha Asa LaAvoseinu V'Lanu. Before Hallel, it's a historical event. I'm saying thank you for doing for my forefathers. Oh, Taka, I happen to benefit also. The very instant Hallel is recited, Hallelu, Hallelu, Avdei Hashem, Kufyad Gimel, B'tzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim, Beis Yaakov Me'amlois, Kufyad Dal, the very instant Hallel is recited, we are expressing joy at the miracle that was done for us. We recite Hallel with ecstasy and joy, as if the event just happened to us. Therefore, we may now mention ourselves first, and then we let our ancestors follow. And that's why after Hallel, the order is reversed. It becomes Asher Ga'alnu V'Ga'alas Avoseinu. So the experience of reciting Hallel on Leil HaSeder ensures that we are active participants in the joyous emotion of actually being redeemed from Egypt. And before this recitation, it's almost impossible, says the Rav, to actually feel the joy of Geula. But if Hallel is recited with the proper Kavana, intent, emotional state of being, you can feel like you were there, you can feel like you left, you sing the song of praise to God, and that's why after we conclude by saying, you did for me first, and for my forefather second. So you see how integral the recitation of Hallel is to the experience of Bechol Dor V'Dor, and actually feeling the Geula for yourself, and it should be recited with great joy, and we must transmit that joy to our children as well. It's not like two PS paragraphs at the end of Magid, like we did everything, how close are we to Mosi Masa? It's an integral experience that moves us from relating simply a historical event to a modern event that happened to me in my day and my time. And now I move to Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, Zichrono Levracha, who also speaks about Hallel. Okay. By the way, I'm quoting from, and I quote the Rav, Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, and Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam. I'm quoting from their Haggadahs, because some of those people want to know where I'm quoting for. Each of these quotes come from their Haggadahs. Hallel is the great song of deliverance, says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks. And according to the Talmud, according to the Gemara, it was sung at all the great triumphs in Jewish history. Interestingly, Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks says, in our day, we have two new occasions when we say it. One is Yom Ha'atzma'um, the other is Yom Yerushalayim. Michal Haaretz is not paskening any halacha. I'm simply reading from Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks' Haggadah. You will ask your own rabbi. But what is the point of Hallel? It is a song that is sung at all the great triumphs in Jewish history. And now Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks quotes the Rav. The late Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik asked an interesting question about the recitation of Hallel at the Seder table. The Gemara says, why don't we say Hallel on Purim? We say Hallel on Hanukkah. We say Hallel on the festivals. We say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. Why don't we say Hallel on Pesach? Why don't we say Hallel on Purim? So the Gemara famously answers, it's Maseches Megillah, Yodalad Aleph, is quoted Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, because the reading of the Megillah is equivalent to saying Hallel. So the Gemara answers that you don't need to say Hallel on Purim because the Megillah is Hallel. So if the Megillah is Hallel, now we have Akasha. Why don't we apply the same reasoning to Seder night? Asked Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks. We have recited the Haggadah. Is the Haggadah not the parallel to the Megillah on Purim? If the Haggadah is the parallel to the Megillah on Purim, surely then the recitation of Hallel seems to be superfluous. Why doesn't the same rule apply? If you don't say Hallel on Purim because you have the Megillah that recounts the victory, first the oppression, Lashmi la Rogula Beit, and then the victory, La Yehudim Haisa Orvisim Chavasasim Vikar. So we have the same parallel in Leil HaSeder. You have Magid. It begins with Avadim Hayinu Lepara B'Mitzrayim, and it ends with Vayotzeinu Hashem Misham B'Yad Chazaka V'Zrona Tuya. So why do I say Hallel? Asked Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks on Seder night. I should apply the same reasoning. I don't need to say it because the Magid of the Haggadah should exempt me. Now clearly it's not so because Hallel is an integral part of Leil HaSeder, but why? The answer I would give, says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, is there are two different impetuses, if you will, for saying Hallel. Why do we say Hallel? The first is at a time of a miracle. A person recites Hallel. The second That's the exact word I'm looking for. Now, impetus, the second motivation. The first motivation for saying halal is at the time of a miracle. You're so overcome by the nace, you don't know what else to do but praise God. The second form of saying halal or rationale behind halal is it's a form of remembrance on the anniversary of a miracle. So those who say halal on Yom HaAtzmaut are saying halal as a remembrance for the miracle that happened in 1948 when the state of Israel was declared and established. Thus, at the time of Hanukkah, the Maccabees said halal at the moment of victory. There was a moment of victory. They recited halal. The next year, that's what the Gemara says in Shabbos, Chof Aleph Amud Aleph, L'shana Acheres, Kavum V'asum Yamim Tovim B'Halal V'Hoda. That's directly what the Gemara says. The next year, they made an annual obligation of recitation of halal. The two forms of halal, whether it's a time of a miracle or it's a remembrance, arise from different psychological states. What does that mean? The first is expressive, says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks. You express your feelings at the moment of a miracle. The second psychological state for which we say halal ties into halal as a form of remembrance, and that is an evocative. You want to evoke the past. These are two very different motivations for the recitation of halal. The first is at the time of a miracle, you say halal, and that is an expressive form of song to God. The second impetus for saying halal is to remember what happened in the past. That is an evocative experience. I want to evoke the past. The first is expressive. The second, evocative. The first gives voice to an emotion we already feel. You have gone through the miracle. You feel the emotion. And therefore, you want to express this through halal. The second, remembering the past, creates an emotion through memory. The first is you have the emotion, okay? The soldiers who liberated the Kotel in 1967, Arabai Biadenu, Arabai Biadenu, if they recited halal, I wasn't there, but when they blew the shofar, they weren't reliving what happened in the past. They were in the miracle, in the here and now. You didn't have to tell them to feel the emotion. They felt the emotion. And everyone who heard the radio, and everyone who heard those great words, and everyone who saw it broadcast around the world felt the emotion. However, the second mode of halal, which is to recall a miracle, which is evocative, in that case, halal is meant to create an emotion by an act of memory. You recall an event that happened in the past. When we tell the story of a miracle, as we do on Purim, which form of halal is that? It's memory. It's evocative. We recall what happened in the past. Recalling what happened in the past is meant to move us to a certain emotion. It is an act of memory. And therefore, the Megillah takes the place of halal on Purim. On Pesach, however, says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, we do not merely tell a story. It is not simply evoking an event of the past. We are not trying to instill within us ancient feelings and reawaken them. No, we are reliving the event. We eat the bread of oppression, Nechem Oni. We eat the bitter herbs, Vayimar Eschayim. We taste the wine of freedom. We partake of matzah. We ingest more. We drink the wine of freedom. We recline as free people. And he too refers to B'chol dar v'dar chayav adam lirot et atzmo kilu hu yatza mimitzrayim. The halal we say on the Seder night is not the second form of halal. It's not a form of remembrance on an anniversary. It is not evocative. It is not meant to create a memory. It is rather the first kind of halal. It is at the time of the miracle itself. You are so moved by the powerful emotion that overtakes you that you naturally burst out in song. And for that, the Haggadah helps us get to that point. But I'm not recalling something that happened in the past. If I'm reliving it right now, I'm so full of emotion, I burst out into song. The halal we say on Seder night, says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, is therefore the first kind of halal, not the second. It arises out of the emotion we feel having lived through the event on this night. And that's why we say, we sing before Hashem, V'nomar lefanav Shira Chadasha. Hallelujah. The full brach, which I didn't finish, is Lefichach anachnu chayavim lehodos lahalal, l'shabeich lefar, I translated this before, l'romim lehader, l'varech la'alei lekales, l'misha asa la'avoseinu v'lanu, we explain that according to the Rav, es kol anisim ha'elu, hotzi anu me'avdus lecherus, He removed us from slavery to freedom. Miyagon the simcha, from sighing to joy. Me'evel l'yom tov, from mourning to a wonderful day. Uma'afela l'argoda, from darkness to a great light. Umishiba de geula, from slavery to redemption. V'nomar l'fanav shira chadasha. Ah, shira chadasha. Hallelujah. And then I burst forth, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Avdei Hashem. B'tzeis Yisrael mi'mitzrayim. It's a Shira Chadasha. What does that mean? It's not an ancient song. I'm not reliving a memory. I'm not talking about something that happened in the past. Then Magid would exempt me, just like the Megillah exempts me on Purim. On Purim, we don't say, B'chol dar v'dar chayav adam lirod aratzmo kilu hu hitzil mehaman v'achashverush. So it's enough to read the Megillah, which recalls the past. On Leil Seder, it's a Shira Chadasha, says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs. Why? This kind of hallel is not cancelled out by telling the story. It's a new song. It happened to be right now. Tafshin Pei Beis. I went free. Hopefully the Beis HaMikdash will be here. I'll bring the Korban Pesach. I don't know. But if not, Chalila, you are reliving the miracle of the time. And therefore, it's not enough to simply recite the Megillah. It's not enough to simply recite the Haggadah and the Magid. If you relive the experience, you burst forth in joyous song. You know, when I was in Eretz Yisrael in the summer of 2019 with my family for our boys bar mitzvah, so we took a family trip and every day was packed. And one day we did jeeping in Midbar Yehuda. And I don't know, I'm so not a jeeping person because I'm very afraid of those kind of things. And it was really like daredevil and I don't know. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we didn't fall off the cliff with the jeep and I survived to tell the tale. So while we were jeeping, a lot of the time I was closing my eyes. But when we got to the top where he wanted us to be, and I looked out over the desert, and I hadn't been to the desert in Israel since I was a child, a very long time ago, or maybe when I was in Mechala, I don't remember. Either way, it was a long time ago. I was so overcome by the scene of the beauty and the grandeur of Hashem's word, I didn't even know what to do. I took on my Tehillim and I recited Kuf Dalet Tehillim, Baruchi Nafshi Es Hashem, Hashem Elokai Godalta Me'od, that describes the beauty and the grandeur of nature. Marbu Masech Hashem, you don't know what else to do when you're living a miracle in the moment besides for sing. So how could we possibly think that the Magid, the Haggadah, would exempt the Hallel? It only exempts the Hallel if it's an event of the past. But if you're living through the miracle in the here and now, you naturally burst forth in song before the Ribono Shel Olam. I now go back to Rav Soloveitchik, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav. So what is interesting about Hallel on Leil HaSeder is that we recite two chapters at the end of Magid, like we've been discussing so far, those two, B'tzei Sishra and Hallelujah, not in that order, Kuf Yud Gimel and Kuf Yud Dalet, and after the Mia, Mar Korech Shulchan Arich Tzafun Barich Hallel Nirtza. After Barich, after we bench, we recite the end of Hallel. We begin with Lo Lanu Hashem, Lo Lanu. And over this Hallel, we recite the fourth, we pour the fourth kos, and we recite Hallel over the fourth kos. So what we are doing is completing the Hallel. We began before the meal and before benching, and we've spoken about that based on the Rav and Rabbi Sachs. And now after the meal and after Barich, we complete the Hallel. What is the difference in motif between the Hallel pre Shulchan Aruch and post Shulchan Aruch? So Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav, says as follows. If we analyze the various psalms, the Kapitach of Tehillim, that make up Hallel, we see that the first two, which we have been discussing until now, are purely thanksgiving and hymnal chapters. If you look at them, they're all praise to Hashem. I'm not going to go through line by line right now. Kuf Yud Gimel, Kuf Yud Dalet. The words are very familiar to us. We say them all the time when we recite Hallel. If you look at them, the theme of those chapters is all thanksgiving and hymnal chapters. They consist of praise exclusively. And those two chapters of Hallel, which are recited at the conclusion of Magid, there's not a single petition. There's not a single request. There is no intercession. There is no imploring God. It is simply thank you, Hashem. We speak about past events, very important events connected to our destiny. We describe how a downtrodden and oppressed people, B'tzei Yisrael Mitzrayim, Beis Yaakov Meim Lois, Ha'isa Yehuda, the Kodesh, Yisrael Mam Shel Osav, Hayar Mav Vayanas, Hayar Den Yisov Li'achar, Ha'arim Rachdu Che'elim, Gvos Kivnei Tzon. It's all praise to God. We are describing that a downtrodden people, an oppressed people in bondage and servitude, suddenly rose to the high level of freedom. And a new nation was born, a chosen nation. Am HaNivchar, a holy nation. Am Kadosh Atal Hashem Elokecha, a nation in whose midst God resides. V'asuli Michdash V'shachanti B'socham. Of course, these two psalms, these two chapters, fit beautifully into the context of the Haggadah. It's a time of praising Hashem. But after the meal, after Barech, the next kapitlach, Kuf Tes Vav through Kuf Yud Ches, have a different theme. Lo lanu ahafti min hametzar karasi ka anani b'merchav yah. What's min hametzar? I call out to you from my distress. Ana Hashem Hoshiada, Ana Hashem Atzlichana. Now the petition motifs are interwoven into the texture of praise. So there's praise, but there's also petition. There's supplication. There's bakasha. There's pleading with God. We do not find exclusive prayer in the chapters of Challah we recite after the meal that we recite before the meal. The Challah at the Seder is divided into two components. The idea of petition in Halal is not introduced to the Maggid section of the Haggadah. Because after we finish reciting the 10 plagues, after we talk about Rabban Gamliel and Pesach Matzah and Maror, we have one duty and one duty only. Lahodos, Lahal, Lashabech, Lafar, Laromim, Lahadar, Lakales. We forget in the moment of the Halal pre the meal that after Mitzrayim we went through many more experiences. And not all of our historical experiences have been pleasant. We have been slaves quite a number of times, perhaps under much worse conditions than those that prevailed in Egypt. We offered up, quote, millions of sacrifices. Our history is stained with much blood and much martyrdom. But in the Maggid section, we forget about all of that. We say one thing and one thing only, and that is praise to the Ribono Shel Olam for saving us from Egypt. However, after we finished Magid, we went through the experience of Chayv Adam Lirosis Atzmo. We ate the festive meal. We benched the Ribono Shel Olam. The Seder has a new tone, a new theme, a new motif. And that is reflected in the second half of Challah. Now, over the fourth cup, there is a different theme. There is an outcry of joy, yes. There is a shouting of the happy person, yes. But at the very instant of bliss and joy, we feel that we are unhappy. We are insecure. We are still in exile. And we need much help from God. And so we beseech Hashem. We beseech you, Hashem. Ana Hashem. Hoshiana, save us. We recite Halal over the fourth cup. And it is both Halal and Tefillah. Praise and petition. We are no longer in Egypt. We are no longer reliving the Exodus like we were before the meal. That was purely reserved for Yetziat Mitzrayim. For that we give untainted thanks. There's no bakasha. There's nothing to ask for. God freed us and it was gevaldik. But after the meal, something has changed. The motif has changed. Wait a minute, we say after we benched. We're still here. Shvach ha-machal glayma shalo yada'ucha. There are still enemies who are going against your great name, who are trying to kill your people. It is not only a shout of joy, therefore, after the Challah that takes place after the meal. Quote, it is also an outcry of pain, says the Rav. The structural patterns are dialectical. There is an inner contradiction. On the one hand, we say, Zehoya Masar Hashem Nagila V'nismechabo. And on the other hand, we say, Ana Hashem Hoshiyana. Mina Meitzer Karasika, Anani Bamerchavka, Pishuli Sharet Sedek. On the one hand, we praise God. On the other hand, we beseech God. The fourth cup, says the Rav, is not related to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Cups 1, 2, and 3, pre-Shulchan Aruch, are all related to Yetzias Mitzrayim. The fourth cup is not related to Yetzias Mitzrayim, says the Rav. The fourth cup is related to the final act of redemption that will usher in the Messianic era. When the Geula, our redemption, will be complete, and all promises will be fulfilled, and all pledges on the part of God will come to fruition. And so these kapitlach of Tehillim, Kuf Tesvav through Kuf Yud Ches, are not purely praise. They are praise intermingled with prayer. They include a mixture of praise and petition, joy and fear, happiness and distress. On the one hand, we are happy for what we have. On the one hand, we are like kings on this night. On the one hand, we give thanks for the past Geula. But on the other hand, we remember that we are still in Galus. And Yerushalayim today is not B'Shalom. And Yerushalayim sits B'Churbana. And Temple Mount is still in the hands of Yeshu Alim Shehilchubo. And so after challah, when we pour the fourth cup, after the meal, when we pour the fourth cup, this challah is not related, in fact, to the shira for geula Mitzrayim. It is a tefillah for the redemption of the Messianic era. And now supplication is relevant and supplication is important, and our prayers take place along with the praise of God. I now go to Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, who I have not quoted yet. Pesach Matzah Umarah. We say in the Seder, close to the end of Magid, right before the Lofichach Anachnu Chayavim. Rabban Gamliel Haya Omer, Kol Shelo Amar Shlosh Advarim Elu BaPesach Lo Yatzei Dechavasu Ve'Elu. Rabbi Gamliel used to say, anyone who does not say these three things on the night of Pesach has not fulfilled his obligation. Pesach, Matzah, Umarar. And then the Baal HaGadol expands upon Pesach. We point to the shank bone that is roasted, which is a paltry reminder of the Karban Pesach. Matzah Zusha Anu Achlim Al Shuma. Mar Zusha Anu Achlim Al Shuma Al Shum Shemim. Right after that, we move into Bechol Dor Vador, and then Lefichach, and then Halal. So I'm going back a little bit. Okay, we spoke about Bechol Dor Vador, Lefichach, Halal, Ga'alnu V'Ga'al Savasenu. Through the meal, final Halal. Now I went back to the passage that comes right before the Halal that takes place as part of Magid. Rabban Gamliel Haya Omer. Whoever does not say these three things tonight on Leil Seder has not fulfilled his obligation. Pesach, Matzah, Umar. Says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, the whole of the Seder, and again, this too is related to, as you will hear, the idea of song. The whole of the Seder shows the development from the impersonal to the personal, from the historical to the biographical, from recounting to reliving. Each of these great giants of our modern day leaders, Rabbanim, thinkers, changed the way I learn Torah. Certainly, those who learn with me know how strongly I rely, have learned from, continue to learn from the teachings of the Rav, Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb. And more recently, I started studying the works of Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks. Brilliant minds. And I find that these modern day giants have a way of putting into words passages and emotions and ideas and thoughts that somehow nobody else, not literally, but hardly anyone else can. Says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, the whole of the Seder shows the development from the impersonal to the personal, from the historical to the biographical. Historical means it's not my story. To the biographical, it is my story. From recounting to reliving. I recount what happened in the past and I journey to relive it. Thus, the central portion of the Haggadah explains each of the major symbols, Pesach, Matzah, Umarah. Each of these is defined in a manner more historical than personal. What is the reason for the Passover sacrifice? God passed over our ancestors' homes in Egypt. What is the reason that we eat matzah? Because the dough of our ancestors did not have time to ferment. And why do we eat marah? Because the Egyptians embittered the lives of our ancestors in Egypt. It's all about the past. Matzah, the bread of the past. Marah, the pain of the past. What am I missing? Pesach, the carbon of the past. All the holiday symbolism seems to be a historical recollection. Pesach, al shum she pasach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, al batei avoseinu b'Mitzrayim. God passed over the homes of our ancestors. Matzah, shelo hispik b'tzeikam she avoseinu l'achmitz. Their dough did not have time to rise. Many, many millennia ago. Maror, because the Egyptians embittered their lives. And so the whole holiday seems to be a historical recollection. However, immediately thereafter, what's the very next thing we do? We join the personal, my personal experience, to the historical, their experience. We all of a sudden declare, we too are participants in the Exodus story. One minute we say the redemption was not only of our ancestors, it is of ourselves as well. And therefore, immediately after Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, which records the historical, the past, memory, we lift our cup and declare, Lefichach anachnu chayavim. Therefore, we are obligated. Lahodos ilahala, lamisha asa nisim lavasenu vilanu. It's to us as well. And in anticipation of the great hallow, we recite before Hashem, he touches upon as well, a shira chadasha, a new song. This means, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, we are no longer historians who are telling a history lesson. We are now participants in an act of reality. We ourselves are involved with the great experience of redemption. I'm not telling you when I come to Hallow what happened to my forefathers. I'm telling you that I was there. I lived it. I feel it. I experienced it. So we recite a Shira Chadasha. I'm repeating. A new song. At this point, no longer are we historians. We are now participants. We are ourselves involved in the great experience of redemption. May that be our call this Passover, this year, throughout our lives, to experience, to live Judaism in the present. May we learn to pierce the harsh facade of impersonal, of modern life with the warm rays of a Jewish heart. And so I'm going to repeat it. May we learn to pierce the harsh facade of living an impersonal life in a modern life. We should pierce that impersonality and infuse ourselves with the warm rays of a Jewish heart and the warm rays of a Jewish soul. May we and all of Israel indeed recite before our heaven, before our Father in heaven, a Shira Chadasha, a new song. We sing of the redemption of all men and all mankind. Hallelujah. Pesach, Matzah, and Maror immediately precedes the Fichach. It is a historical retelling. Hashem skipped over their houses, Pesach. Matzah, their dough did not have time to rise. Our ancestors experienced. Maror, their lives were embittered. But then we cross the divide of generations. B'chol dor v'dor, we say, Chayev Adam lirot et atzmo kilu hu yatzam b'mitzrayim. And all of a sudden, we are no longer historians. We are living in the here and now, in the today, experiencing the miracle right now. I want to now move to a piece. Also, we quoted two from the Rav so far, one from Rabbi Sachs, and now the second one from Rabbi Lamb. And I still hope to get to another one from Rabbi Sachs, but that might be overly ambitious. I don't know. We'll see. Sometimes this happens. This next piece was the springboard for the entire shiur. This next piece was really the impetus for the whole shiur. The whole shiur was built around what I'm about to share with you now. This next piece of Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb is related to Shiras Hayam. Shiras Hayam was Shvi Shal Pesach. The seventh day of Pesach, Parshas B'Shalach, Az Yashir Moshe V'Nesha Es HaShira Hazos. On Leil HaSeder we sing a Shira Chadasha. At Kriyas Yamsuf, the people also sang a Shira Chadasha. Az Yashir Moshe V'nei Yisrael Es HaShira Hazos. It was the seventh day of Pesach. When do we mention the splitting of the sea right before Dayenu? And in Dayenu itself, we mention the splitting of the Reed Sea. We talk about how many Makos were on the Reed Sea. The Reed Sea is an integral part of our redemption as well. It is then Vayaminu B'Hashem of Moshe Avdo on the seventh day of Pesach. Listen carefully to Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb on Shiras Hayam. So we'll give you an entirely new perspective into the Song of the Sea. The seventh day of Passover, the day on which he calls it the Red Sea, but I'm saying a Reed Sea, the day on which the Reed Sea split, is one on which we read that the children of Israel sang Shira. They sang a song. Moshe sang with the men, and after Tikach Mirim HaNeviyah 15:20 Tesvav Chaf and Sefer Shemos Tikach Mirim HaNeviyah Achos Arnas Tov Biyad Vatitzena Kol Nashim Achorei Betubim Mechomos Vatane Miriam Ashiru LaHashem Ki Gaga. They sang, the men sang. We recount this in the Haggadah. And what was so unique and powerful about the Song of the Sea? Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb puts an entirely new perspective onto Shiras Hayam. I imagine, says Rabbi Lamb, that the children of Israel were in no mood to sing, despite the miracle. Consider what they had gone through. How many of their family members had been lost during the 10 plagues? We know during Makas Choshech, Zirashi 2, Paragir Pasuchof Beis, Pasuchof Aleph, we also talk about the Makos on the El Seder. millions, about 20 million Jews died during Malchus Choshech. All right, Dr. Norman Lamb puts a whole new spin on Shir Sayam. Do you think the people wanted to sing? I imagine, considering what they were going through, that they were in no mood to sing. How many of their family and friends had been lost during the 10 plagues? How frightened they were. How overwhelmed they must have been by the terrible tragedies which confronted them and which they so narrowly averted. It was time, perhaps, to breathe a sigh of relief as the Egyptians drowned on the shore of the Reed Sea. But it was hardly a time in which one wants to sing. And yet, sing is precisely what they did. Perhaps this was the whole impetus, the entire inspiration for the whole shir. Perhaps this is what the rabbis meant when they said the marriage of a person is as difficult. There's a very, very famous midrash that it is difficult for Hashem. Kasha, kaviyach, as if anything's difficult for Hashem. Making a shidduch, a marriage, is as difficult for God as splitting the Reed Sea. So there's many different ways to understand this. Rav Soloveitchik, one of his farm of Holzer, brings out an answer. Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb says something totally different. Perhaps this is what the rabbis meant when they said the marriage of a person is as difficult as the splitting of the Sea of Reeds. That marriage, despite its problems and tensions, its difficulties and demands, must be characterized by shira, song and joy. Sometimes people are fortunate, and the source of their happiness is external. It comes to them from without. At such times, simcha just happens, and a family erupts in shira from the joy in which they find themselves. But that is not the usual case. Quote, usually, a happy family is one that creates its own happiness. It learns to sing when it is not in the mood to sing. It evokes the happiness that it seeks. This is not only a question of marriage to shared individuals on a journey of life. It is not only a question of the Jews who participated in Shir HaSayam on the seventh day of Pesach. It applies to every individual as well. In the course of my counseling, says Rabbi Lamb, I come across people who so very often complain that they are unhappy. It does no good to try to describe to them their situation objectively and to compare it to other people of much greater difficulties. Everyone has their own pain. They don't want to hear about subjective evaluation. But it makes sense to look upon life with less bitterness, with a more positive attitude, with a more joyous outlook. Happiness, the whole theme of tonight's shir, besides we're exploring the thinking and writings of three very great teachers in our day and time, is the idea of halal and shira. When do we sing praise to God? What does it do to us? How does it transport us to another time? Why do we sing to God? How did our ancestors sing? The whole point of tonight's shir, the theme of tonight's shir, is one of halal and shira. L'hodos, l'halal, l'fa'er, l'romim, l'hader, l'alu, l'kalis, l'misha asa nisim, l'avoseinu v'lanu. Happiness, says Rabbi Lamb, is not necessarily something that happens to a person. It is something one creates by an act of free will. It can be induced internally. It can happen externally. But a courageous person induces it internally. We are not passive pawns, which can be moved from red to black and black on the chessboard of life. If we are human beings, if we possess some dignity, we take our lives in our own hands. And to a large extent, we determine whether we will be happy or miserable. It holds true for marriage. It holds true by the Jews of Shir HaSayam. It holds true for every family, and it holds true for each and every individual. A person has a right to expect happiness from life, but he has no right to expect that good fortune will be his every step of the way. While he passively rides the crest of euphoria, it is his task and his obligation to get and give happiness, to receive it and to create it. Even if he has to fabricate it selectively out of raw material of experience and circumstance. It was Shvi Shel Pesach. They walked into this desert with no food except for some unrisen dough. They didn't know where water was coming from. Their tormentors were running after them. 4/5 of the Jews died during Malchus Choshech. It's Rashi 10:21. I said before 10:22. Millions died. Targum Unkel says, no. Targum Yonasan ben Uziah. Vayihi b'shal chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim, Berak Yud Gimel, beginning of Parshas B'shalach. The children of Israel went up chamushim. So Mizuyanim says Rashi. 1/5 says Rashi. What does Targum Yonasan ben Uziah say? Each family took 5 orphans. Go look up Targum Yonasan ben Uziah, beginning of B'shalach chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim. Meretz Mitzrayim. Each family took 5 orphans whose parents died during Malchus Choshech. They're tormentors, they're screaming. They're running after us. They remember the babies that were thrown into the Nile River, the babies that were used as bricks, the back-breaking labor, the maror. We should sing a song. Now I'm going to sing. This is what you did for me, God. Now I'm going to sing. I don't want to sing. I accuse you. Jah accuse. Oz Yashir, Moshe v'nei Yisrael, Ashira zos l'Hashem v'yuma le'mor, Ashira l'Hashem, Batan la Miriam, Shira l'Hashem ki goa goa. Mariam, she was born during such a bitter time, and yet she was able to sing. The Jews may not have been in the mood to sing, but they created a happiness, a new reality. They created a Shira Chadasha. The same holds true for the relationship of God and Israel. The marriage metaphor teaches us to carry over this teaching of the seventh day of Passover into Jewish life. What does it mean that it is kasha for Hashem to split the sea? Nothing's kasha for Hashem. It is kasha to create a shirach. It's kasha for people to be happy with what they have. And we learn that from the Shiras Hayam and from the difficult times we face in life. Even in times that are difficult and tense, we must be able to sing. Even in times that are difficult and tense, this year, coming off of 2 years of COVID, and now the war in the Ukraine, and all of the refugees, Rachman al-Islan, the decimation of Jewish communities, the recent terror attacks in Eretz Yisrael, Shami Rachim, the Patira of Hasar Torah, Maran HaGaon Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. What kind of year? What is happening? No. We will sing. We will sit down on Leil Seder and sing. We will lift our cup. The Nomar Lofan of Shira Chadasha. Hallelujah. Even in times that are difficult and tense, we must be able to sing. Even as in our days. And this was said decades ago. When most of Jewish life seemed threatened all over the world. And the future seems ominous. We have no right to fall into doubt and gloom. We have no right to fall into hesitation and despair. The real test is to sing of your Jewishness, even when you sing alone. To be content in your Jewishness, even when the world is alienated from you. To laugh at despair and banish it from your life. To be a Jew means to sing. I did want to quote one more thing from Rabbi Sachs, but I do not have time. So I will end with the final blessing of Maggid. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, asher ga'alnu v'ga'al savaseinu mimitzrayim. V'yganu l'alayla hazah l'chol bo matzo umar. Yes, we partake of the food of poverty and the bitter herbs, and yet we sing. Kain Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu Yageinu l'Mo'adim v'L'Regalim Acherim Habayim Kraseinu l'Shalom. We sing song of Halal of praise and part of Halal of beseechment and prayer. Smeichim b'Vinyan Iracha l'Shana Haba b'Yerushalayim HaBnuya v'Sasim b'Avodosecha v'Nochosh Amin Ezvachim Minu B'Psachim Asher Agia Damam Al Kirmes Bechacha L'Ratzon. Let the base of Mikdash be rebuilt. Let the sacrifices once again be offered. Let the blood drip down the walls of the Mizbech HaNechoshes. V'noda L'chashir Chadash. We will sing a brand new song. Al Geula Seinu V'al Pedus Nafshenu. Until that great day comes when the service is restored to the temple and Yerushalayim is truly Benuya, we can still sing. We can all experience a personal geula, and we can all affect a pedus nafshenu. Baruch Atah Hashem, Ga'al Yisrael. And with that, Behasebat Smol, we drink the cup of Maggid, for which we give thanks to God. I thank Rabbi Shabtai so much for this opportunity. I thank you all for taking the time to tune in a week and a few days before Pesach. I thank the Ribono Shel Olam for such teachers and leaders as the Rav, Rabbi Lam, and Rabbi Sachs, Ruchono Levracha. I wish you all a Chag Kasher v'Sameach. May we all be Zoche v'Nomer Lefanav Shira Chadasha Halleluka. B'nisan Nigalu, B'nisan Asidin Ligael. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a wonderful evening. Kol Tov, and thank you to all.